All aboard the gravy train!
Are you riding your financial planner or broker's gravy train? Your financial prospectus outlines how brokers are allowed to charge you hidden fees.
Next stop, hidden fees!
Want to take back control of your retirement income? Just get off at the next stop. And tune in to the Total Financial Hour with host Arif Halaby, Sundays at 11 a.m. Learn about your financial power on the Total Financial Hour, Sundays at 11 a.m. on AM 870 The Answer.
Financial security will help you live the life you dream. Learn about financial power, the Total Financial Hour. Now higher income strategy, learn from Arif Halaby. Learn about financial power, the Total Financial Hour. Now Arif has a plan for me, higher income strategy.
Welcome to the show. Appreciate you being with me. Again, still in a different studio, so you now know that, of course, because it sounds just a little bit different, but I appreciate your patience and your understanding. Is my goal is to deliver you up to date what's going on, my opinion, and really what I think you need to do to make a difference in your financial life. Let me give you the number. It's 888-99-RETIRE. That's 888-997-3847, 888-99-RETIRE. Okay. And also emails. We have your emails after the bottom of the hour or the top of the hour next. Our email address, Arif, A-R-I-F, so Arif at tfswealth.com. That's Arif at tfswealth.com. Okay. Here's a couple of things I wanted to touch base with you on. One very specific that I think you need to understand is what's happening with this minimum wage. A lot of people have argued about it. But let me be clear on a couple of things. First of all, the minimum wage is 550,000 workers in the state of California that will be affected. If all of them just work 30 hours a week. Now, I know some work 20, some work 30, 45, you know, 40. I get it. But if we just took 30 hours a week, here's where the difference is made. Zero of them, zero, none, 550,000 minimum wage workers now make $20 an hour. Of those 550,000, you ready for this? Zero of them pay California income tax. Zero. But they all pay an increase in payroll tax. So the increase in payroll tax, meaning more payroll tax this year than next year, right? I mean, you follow me on that? If they went from $16 an hour to $20 an hour, okay, that is a very important number. The payroll tax is almost half, that's $500 million, half $1 billion. Do you understand that? The reason they did this is to increase the money for Social Security, fine, because that's a federal program. Medi-Cal, well, that's part of our program. And believe it or not, they did it to increase Social Security on that side. But clarity, ready? The disability, the state disability, that's where I'm going with it. And the workers' comp. Because you understand workers' comp that a company pays is a function. It's based on the wages that the employer pays. Meaning if I pay somebody $1,000 a week, I pay less workers' comp payroll than if I pay them $1,500 a week. You follow me? So the more I pay you, if I'm the employer, the more I pay you as the employee, the more the insurance companies get to collect from me on unemployment, workers' comp, and the first year of disability. Because the first year of disability, that's where I was getting a bit confused, the first year of disability is state paid. Your first 12 months. So to clarify for you, do you understand why they've done this? They didn't do this for the worker because the worker's going to end up getting laid off. The worker's going to end up paying more. And here's the secondary benefit that equals about another $500 million. Are you ready for this? Hold on. If last month you were making $22 an hour because you were a supervisor of people that were making $16 or $17 an hour. And now this month, you're saying, well, wait a second. I am managing these people that are $20 an hour. I need a pay raise. Now, do you see what happens? So the middle managers, they go up in wages. The next managers, they go up in wages. The next manager, all the way up. So if you're a semi-skilled worker and you were making $20 an hour, that's pretty good money before, right? In 2019, before Biden came into play. And now what do you have? Now you have people saying, well, that's not right. I want my wages. I want my money. And I'm working and I'm worth it. And I'm worth more than these people that are just a dollar or two more per hour. So I need to make $25 or $26 an hour. Guess what? Most of those folks still pay zero in social, zero in income tax for the state. 43% or so of California workers pay no state income tax, none. 43%, do you realize that? If there's 43% that pay no California income tax, have you asked yourself, what do they get to access all the services? Do the illegals get to access all the services? Do the people on the street get? Yes. Oh, but Arif, you have to just be happy. And when I indicate, look, I have not put my kids in public school. They don't go to public school. They didn't. They're now older, of course, they're adults. But my kids were homeschooled. They went to a private school for a couple of years. And then we didn't even like what that was doing because it wasn't keeping up with my kids as far as education goes. So we just said, look, well, let's homeschool the kids. We're traveling a bit more. I'm speaking at different financial conferences. We're just done. I need the flexibility. I can't have anybody out there telling me or my kids what to do or what not to do, when to show up. Forget it. Instead, what we'll do is we will homeschool the kids. Okay, but I still paid state property tax and city and county property tax. So we have a system where we've convinced you to say that it's okay that you are paying for something that you never received. You're a single woman, never had children, paying for the public schools. You're an elderly couple, already older. The kids have grown, moved out of the house. Maybe you moved here from another place and you never had children in the public school system. You are still paying for the public school system. So we've been used to that over the years. Well, Eric, if you don't understand, people that live in an apartment that have rent control, where they can't raise the rent as much as the property tax goes up, and you're stuck, you're like, but I can't raise the rents. So the property taxes for the apartment pay for the schools and other things. This isn't just an attack on schools, but I want you to see how people pay for things that they don't get to use. At the same time, people use things that they don't pay for. So if you live in an apartment and your rent is regulated, and you go to the public school system and you make less than $43,000, $42,000, whatever it might be, $40,000 a year, you pay no state income tax. And whatever minimal portion of your rent goes to the property tax, very little goes to the owner because the property tax keeps eating up a greater amount of the profit. And yet the two-bedroom apartment, two-bedroom, two-bath with five people in it, guess who pays the property tax, who pays for the school for those people to attend. This isn't an attack on poor people. Just get that out of your head. Knock off that baloney for just a minute. And let's play pretend like you're logical, you understand math, and you're willing to be open-minded to say, huh, maybe, just maybe, something is wrong here. Right? Just maybe something's wrong. I don't know. Have you asked yourself that? Have you tried to figure out why the system is so one-sided? Well, it's not difficult to understand because the whole system is set up one way, and that is to benefit the very wealthy, to keep the poor very poor, because you understand some of them are going to lose their jobs, right? I mean, you know that. Some of them are going to lose their jobs, so 100% of nothing is what they're going to receive. And then when you go to the store and you go to get your Big Mac meal deal, and then now you end up paying 10%, 15% more, Do you realize that somebody has to pay for this? I mean, I just want you to understand this. It doesn't disappear. So you guys have to realize that the state of California is on a crash course to be very unsustainable. Small businesses are shutting down left and right. They have to. There is no place for them in the state of California. You're not welcome. In fact, you're not welcome at all if you have Christian values, small business owner, and you feel like you want to homeschool your kids or have some sort of value with your children. Just never going to happen. Right? Your family is not important to the system. It just doesn't work that way. Nobody cares about you in the state of California unless you're one of the elites or you're one of the poor, where they can buy and manipulate your vote. Right? You've seen that with student loan debt. You see, look, if we have an issue in the state of California with workers, whatever, air conditioning repair, plumbing, good jobs. In fact, some would say great jobs. If you understand how to manage your money, they can be really good jobs. Right? The issue is not that somebody doesn't have any money. The issue is they don't manage their money well. And then what you've done is on the backside is you've regulated them to where $20 an hour means nothing because they will take it right back from you. How? Higher wages, higher payroll tax, and your money's gone. Right? So you got to follow along that these things don't happen by accident. They understand what they did is they did this to increase Social Security. That's on the federal system. They did this to increase all of the wages that are geared towards workers' comp. Right? The workers' compensation program is a mess in the state. Ask any small business owner. If it isn't taxes that are pushing them out, it's the workers' comp system that's pushing them out. Right? You could be here illegally, work for somebody, walk into a job site, whatever it is, hurt, slip and fall, and make tens of thousands of dollars, which, why, by the way, back in your home country is like millions, and you end up leaving. It's a scam. You've seen it with car accidents. Look, I don't know what number, half, 90%, whatever number, are good people wanting a better life for their family, but that's still not your problem, right? It's not your problem that they were born over there. It's not your problem that you were born over here. It isn't. What they should do is take their skill set. That's why we've allowed foreigners to come to the United States, get educated, and go back and make their countries better. Right? We've given them the chance to be educated in the United States so they can make their region better. They can improve the lifestyle of their families. And for years, many people have done that. Right? They learn the language, the culture. There's a symbiotic relationship between them and us. And it's turned into a wonderful thing. But I don't know how long ago it started where all of a sudden it's become this craziness. So here's what my proposal is for you and what I see happening is you have to look behind the scenes. And one of those things that you have to look at is what's happening with the variety of debt that has occurred in the state and in the individual. So where is that happening? Well, it's happening in a couple of places. First of all, the default rate on credit cards is off the charts. It's just huge. For any dollars that you can think of, you have to ask yourself, where is this money going? When people spend it, it's going somewhere. Where? Somewhere. But then what happens? Well, they leave. Say, I can't pay anymore. Sorry. We say, well, what about the debt that you owe to the student loan? Sorry, can't pay it. Well, what about the amount of dollars that are geared towards your car loans? Oh, those are late. And you still want a house. So many of you are trying to figure out how to buy a house. I get it. So what are they doing? Well, a couple of things are happening. And first of all, it's you trying to buy a home with your retirement account. Well, we know that's bad. It's you trying to buy a home because the interest rate system has really changed, and so you have no choice. So I want to give you a couple of things, a couple of pointers. First of all, things are going to be more expensive. Labor, right? If you're going to build a house to lay the bricks, air conditioning, the roof, all of that is going to cost a lot more money. The guys that were making $20 an hour before are going to make $40 and $50 an hour. They are. Just if you're skilled labor, you can charge $40 an hour all day long. All day long to do somebody's bricklaying the driveway. So in other words, all of home construction is going to go up in cost. We already know that the fast food restaurant, everybody talks about that. But if you're somebody that is in any other business and you say, wait a second, I'm going to pay you $16 an hour. They say, why would I work for you for 16? I can go down the street and work for 20. And the skill set is the same, which is nothing. And I actually have a skill on how to landscape or plant trees or garden, whatever it might be. So you're going to start seeing a shift where they say, okay, that's it. I'll pay you $26 an hour. So all of those wages are going to start going up. That's one thing I see. The second thing I see across the board is that automobiles are going to go up in cost. Because all of the regulations that are happening and all the other dollars that are happening, pushing the cost of automobiles up, people forget. When you look at these big plants and these robotic arms coming out and picking up things and moving stuff over and welding, and you go, wow, that's dramatic. What about all the other pieces and parts, all the other plastic and wooden pieces and fabric? Tell me about that. Who makes it? In that factory or in another one? And do they work directly for Ford or Chrysler or now, some of the other companies? No. Because everybody builds cars in the United States. Honda, right? Tesla, of course. They all build cars here. But what about all those other little pieces and parts? Oh, those are made by secondary companies, by contracting companies, by subcontractors. Up there's your minimum wage of pressure. So I think you're going to start seeing that happen. Consumer debt has hit a record $16.9 trillion. So how do we protect ourselves when we know that there's nearly $17 trillion in consumer debt, with a T? $17 trillion in consumer debt. That's across all categories. But ready for this? A year ago, it's up nearly 10% over the last year. That means people have spent 100% of their money plus 10% more. This is mortgages, auto loans, credit cards. That means people got into debt and spent more money than they made, plus 10%. It's about 9 or so, but you get the idea, nearly 10. All categories rose. CNBC reports, despite a decline in originations, which is loan applications, mortgages, the balance for mortgages have increased to $11.9 trillion. About $1 trillion more than a year ago. So that's been the bulk of the increase. All right, what about credit card delinquencies? Well, credit card delinquencies are starting to hit. Because instead of telling people before, we're going to delay or defer your student loans. But here's what you need to do, Mr. Jones. The student loan payment is $250 a month. I want you to take $250, set it aside each month. Oh, Eric, I can't. COVID got hurt. Got it. Okay, so here's what you do. Super simple. You just take $150. That's all. You don't have to afford all of it. Oh, Eric, you don't understand. Then you work a second job. I did. I worked three jobs, one full-time and two part-time. For how long? Almost 4 years. Okay, so you can't tell me it's not possible. And I did a lot of that while I was not feeling well, while I was injured, recovering from a surgery, right? I mean, all of us, we have a story. I don't tell you this to make you seem I'm perfect. I'm just telling you, you can't whine and complain and tell me that you worked 8.5 hours today and you're tired. I always knew there was 24 hours in a day and I needed to sleep something like maybe 4 hours would be a good number. I was young. I knew I could. I knew I couldn't do it forever. So if you're young and you're telling me that you have a challenge or a problem when it comes to your work, I'm saying BS on that one. I think you have a chance to go out and find another way to create a job or income. And you pay for your student loans, Right? Listen, you didn't do what I didn't get a degree in something I didn't want to do. But you're stuck. What are you going to do for your own wealth? What are you going to do for your own job? What are you going to do for your own future? Huh? Is it going to come from a charitable gift? So do you see what I'm saying with that? All right. Number one, hardship withdrawals from your 401ks. What's happening with that? Why is that the case? Well, it's happening for a couple of reasons. A hardship withdrawal from a 401k means you can take out money. Generally speaking, you have to prove that it's a hardship, right? Depending on how friendly you are with your HR director, they do have to keep some documentation in the file in case of an audit. Sometimes they're really sticklers about it. Sometimes they're pretty friendly about it. But you're going to have to do something when it comes to proving that it is a hardship. Somebody got sick. Your spouse was working, now can't work anymore. So you need some freedom there. I get it. Hardship withdrawals surge to another record high as inflation stings. See, because remember when I was talking about those wage pressures, now you're a legal secretary. The gap between you and somebody who has no skill set, it's pretty high from a knowledge standpoint. But when it comes to wages, it just shrunk. So you're going to ask for a pay raise. And then the law firm says, well, now we have to bill our clients more money. And then the client who owns a chain of whatever, nurseries, right, now has to ask for a pay raise or an increase in expenses because their legal fees have gone up. Do you see where I'm going with this? No matter what, things are continuing to go down. The Biden administration can easily fix this, easily. Take away all mandates. Some people are going to work for less money. Immediately, the prices of things start to drop. It just does. It's not about creating taxes to pull money out of the system. That's not really the way that we've ever seen any success. Anytime the Jimmy Carter administration or the Woodrow Wilson administration, I mean, we can go on and on. Anytime they've tried it, it messed up the economy. It's the reason that Bill Clinton in 1994 made a big change, because he knew it wasn't working. He was on his way to lose the next election if he wasn't going to make some change, welfare to work programs, etc. So now we have about 3.6% of workers in employer-sponsored 401k plans have taken a hardship withdrawal. All right, what does that mean? It means that more money has been pulled from the stock market, right? Because the dollars don't go sit there. They come from someplace. So instead of putting money in, they've taken money out. People who have a tendency to put money in, right? It's the old, if an object is in motion, it has a tendency to stay in motion, right? If somebody is comfortable and familiar and capable of putting money into their retirement account, then they have a tendency to keep putting money in their retirement account, right? It doesn't just end. It's not something that just you says, well, I guess there is no more of a future for the stock market, so I'm not putting money in. You don't think that way. It is your retirement account. You've put money into your retirement account, and you're going to continue to put money in your retirement account. But now your habits have changed, right? The only time an object stops its motion is if it runs into something that has a greater, equal, but opposite force, meaning it stops it, right? The reason that a car stops is because the brick wall is ultimately stronger, faster, harder, and stops the vehicle from crashing into it, right? So it isn't something that you just sit around and say, this vehicle in motion. So I want you to be prepared. When we come back from the break, I'm going to give you some options. Grab your pen and paper, some things you can do to not have to tap into your 401k retirement plan at work, and see what we can do to keep you from getting, well, at least from making bigger mistakes. That's my goal. Stay with me after the break. I'm Arif Halaby. This is the Total Financial Hour on AM 870, The Answer. We'll be right back after the break. It's 888-99-RETIRE. That's 888-997-3847. We'll be right back. Life you dream. Learn about financial power, the Total Financial Hour. Now higher income strategy. Learn from Arif Halaby. Learn about financial power, the Total Financial Hour. Now Arif has a plan for me. Higher
retire comfortably, thanks to Arif Halabi. Now every dollar's got a job to do. Arif makes your money work for you. Learn about financial power, the Total Financial Hour. Learn about financial power, the Total Financial Hour. Financial security will help you live the life you dream. Learn about financial power, the Total Financial Hour. Now higher income strategy, learn from Arif Halabi. Learn about financial power, the Total Financial Hour. Now Arif has a plan for me, higher income strategy. Retire
comfortably. Welcome back to the show. I'm Arif Halabi. This is the Total Financial Hour. 888-99-RETIRE. That's 888-997-3847. Total Financial Solutions and TFS Financial Insurance Services bring you the show. Look, our objective every week is to talk about your family's finances. As I mentioned in the first half hour, I think there's a lot of problems coming down the road. I think part of the issue is waking people up. Maybe not you guys. That's why you're listening to the show and to the station. AM870 has always had good hosts, a variety of opinions, different ideas. I think that's important. It's the whole idea. The antidote for hate speech is actually more speech. Look at what's happened to Harry Potter creator. What's her name? J.K. Rowling, right? In England, it's the same as Canada, where you can't actually say certain things or you upset somebody and you hurt their feelings, and all of a sudden it's hate speech. And now you get in trouble and you can't continue to live like this because, man, you're hurting their feelings, right? Same thing as the person who was outside of a pregnancy clinic, just standing there and was praying, quietly praying for those women that were going inside of the abortion clinic. And instead of just allowing her to do her, they arrested her. I mean, is this not Roman Empire, Joseph Stalin, Adolf Hitler kind of stuff, right? Adolf Hitler added a variety of violence with it, right? The brown shirts, etc. But when you see somebody like the Biden administration, today's Democrats, Gavin Newsom, they just lawfare you to death, right? You understand what I mean by that? The lawfare, if you heard that term, instead of warfare, it's the law. They just go after you and say, you know, what we do is we just kind of bury you in paperwork. You saw this happen with a lot of churches or so-called churches that go after people that speak badly about them. You see it go after certain celebrities that you say something bad about them in the media and they sue you. They put liens on your houses. I mean, they just go to town. It's a hardcore battle. You can't think that it isn't. And what they did with President Trump is they figured they're going to have to go after him in every single state. Well, that's pretty important you understand that, because most people don't have the kind of resources he does, right? Which is to fight six fronts at once, to fight three or four different lawsuits at once, criminal and civil, everything under the sun. And now he comes out to try to speak against one of the judges whose daughter is a Democrat fundraiser, whose job it is to go. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. So I think if President Trump wins, which we hope he does, right? If you can get me somebody else who walks like a duck, talks like a duck, but isn't really a duck, right? Who walks like a conservative, not a Republican, but a conservative, talks like Donald Trump when he's serious about policy, and then acts like Donald Trump when he kind of turned this country around and made President Obama look like a fool. If you can get me somebody like that and then not call him Donald Trump, fine, I guess. I care about the results. The man is not my savior. Christ is my savior. The left thinks, oh, you guys worship him. We don't, just because they worship politicians, right? The left wing worships politicians like it's nobody's business. I mean, that's just their thing. They worship these people. They think they walk on the moon. They think they're somebody special. We just don't. Right, the turnout that President Trump gets is because of the hope that people feel in his response. So what is it that you're going to do? What can you do to sit down and kind of create something where you are not going to be in a position of losing over the next 6 months. And at the same time, if President Trump doesn't win for some reason, how do you protect yourself going forward? So here's a few things I want you to do. Number one, you're all going to receive a pay raise if you haven't already. You're going to take half of it and keep it in your budget. You're just going to add it to your budget, spend it. You're going to have to spend more on groceries anyway. I get it. Gasoline, utilities. But you take the other half. So if your take-home check every 2 weeks is an extra $200 every 2 weeks, you take 100 and you add it to your saving. Now, if you're pre-retirement, then you add it into your retirement account. Don't worry about it. We'll figure out where to put it later and what that looks like. But you automatically add it to your retirement account. You take the other 100 and that's what you live on. Okay, and then you do it again. Now, some of you receive pay raises or will be receiving pay raises for Social Security this year. Same thing. Your pension, same thing. Take half and save it and half and spend it. I'm okay with that. But you better be prepared, because the ban that this president, if he feels desperate, and we think he's being controlled by Obama, a lot of people do, if he starts to feel like he is being pushed into a corner, I think you'll start seeing some crazy left-wing policies even more than you already see. So I want you to protect your car. What do I mean by that? Make sure that your payments are up to date, maybe even a little further. Try to get one payment ahead if you can. Make sure your gas tank is never below half. Consider half a tank as a full tank. I know that means every other day you have to fill up, then you fill up every other day. I don't want you to be stuck out and about without something in your car for the cold or for the heat, right? An extra 3 or 4 bottles of water. I think an extra duffel bag with some clothes in it. I don't mean having some money sitting around in the back seat floating around, but just keep extra cash with you, dollars. I don't mean just having gold and jewelry on you, but protect that as well, right? If you have some at home, you keep it in a safe place. I think what you have to do is be prepared that the Biden administration could clamp down on certain 401k plans, the distribution, the withdrawal. You can only take out a certain amount per year, per month, per week, right? Same thing with banks. I think there isn't a liquidity crisis, so I don't see that coming down the road, which means just the amount of money, there's a run on the bank, there just isn't enough cash to go around. I don't see that as the issue. But I can see credit ratings of certain institutions, banking institutions, suffering. I can see issues where certain banking institutions are going to be required to figure something out, because as the trends of layoffs are coming, and they are huge, I told you this was coming 2 years ago. I said, this is how we know we're in the beginning of a huge recession. And the first is this, very simple. It's the massive amount of layoffs that are coming. And people said, oh no, these companies are just hiring. Facebook is hiring. Twitter is hiring. I said, the next phase in the economic cycle is massive layoffs, job turmoil. Surprise, that's what's happening. So why do I say be careful from the banking institutions and your retirement accounts? Because when somebody is laid off, their normal plan, which is to retire in 6 more years and then start systematically withdrawing money from their retirement account, what takes place instead is that person gets to the place where they need more than 3 or 4% from their retirement account. They're going to need 5 or 6 or 7 or more, or withdraw all of it to live on. When there's less money going in, and not only less money going in because they're laid off, but now there's more money coming out because they pulled it out to live on. Now what happens, right? What happens to those dollars? Well, they're gone. They're gone. So you need to make sure that the pressure on your retirement accounts is not all your eggs in one basket. Be spread out a little bit, have some in safety, some in, and I don't mean safety as bonds, because bonds can go up and down. I like fixed and fixed indexed annuities. That's what I happen to be partial to. You don't have to, but I think because they don't go down with the market and it protects your principal, and you're gonna get reasonable rates of return. Sometimes you're gonna get yuckies, you're gonna get zeros, but would you rather pay a fee and lose money? You just decide what direction you wanna go. Because both of these things can make a difference in the way that you retire and plan on retiring. All right, so you and your family have to lay this out. What is our plan B in case stuff hits the fan? Americans facing job cuts and as businesses cope with persistent inflation and high interest rates. So this just out this week, Fox Business is reporting that job cuts jumped to the highest level since January 2023, which is when I told you it was going to begin, and it did. And now you're seeing what is Challenger, Gray, and Christmas. They're a firm that tracks employees and employment and everything that goes with it. They're seeing an increase of 7% over last year. Okay, that's a big number. Thousands, tens of thousands of people are going to lose jobs. Now, they're going to say things like, well, Arif, look, there's still millions of people working. Yes, there are. There's still so many people that are looking for work. Yes, there are. But when you're a company and you have that pressure, you have to have a plan B, which is lay off employees. Now, some companies, mine happens to be one of them, our employees are very crucial to the scenario of us running a clean, solid operation, right? We're a business. My employees are top notch. But it doesn't mean because I have 7 or 8 or 9 employees that our company can hire the rest of the world. For some companies like Twitter, they laid off 60, 70, 80% and they didn't care. Didn't change a thing there. Twitter, remember that? Oh yeah. You were going to be out of business before the end of the week. Yeah. More profitable, runs smoother than ever. What about Google, Facebook, all of those other types of companies that are existing in the world of the internet? Well, they're starting to lay off too, aren't they? This is a big deal because you're starting to see Veterans Affairs, government agencies, the U.S. Army, they're starting to cut back. So keep your powder dry, right? I think this really helps because then you're going to be the one to swoop in and to pick up a good deal, whether it's a commercial building, right? Whether it is the stock company that you always wanted to buy, whether it is a piece of real estate, commercial, residential, or the vacation home. I think when stuff hits the fan, it's those that manage their money properly that win big. And you can be one of them. All right. So you're going to take half and save it, half and absorb it into your budget. Now, if you can defer both pieces of it, right? If you can defer 100% of whatever pay raise you receive, then great, let's do it. What I don't want you to do is to just spend 100% of it, right? People do that. And then next year they spend even more. And then the next year they spend it. And then they go, wait a second. I remember when making $50,000 a year was a pretty good number. Now I make 70 and I'm still broke. Well, yeah, you can blame inflation for some of that, but a lot of it is your habits, what you call normal. So we got to stop that. Stop that craziness. All right, next. I want you to think of a couple of things that you can cut out of your life. I don't mean we're going to eat chicken instead of steak. I don't mean we're going to eat vegetables instead of chicken. I mean, what can you cut out of your life? Take a look at those subscription services. Right? We all complained about cable being $120 a month. But then what you did is you went out and you got the NFL channel for $19.99 and then this one for $6.99 and this one for $22.99. Before you know it, you spent more than that. And oh yeah, but it's not me. Right? All of a sudden, we looked back and you said, I'm spending a lot more than that cable that I complained about. And all these little streaming services. Some you watch, some you don't. Take a look at Rumble. I want you to take another look at Rumble. They went through some changes. They've grown. They've done well. Difficult, right? Some issues early on. I like them a lot more than YouTube. I understand YouTube is huge. I understand you can monetize YouTube if you have your own channel. But there's just way too many people forgetting about something like Rumble or Yahoo or Bing, different search engines, different platforms where you can actually have better content, cleaner content, truer content, meaning it's not this filtering of ideas, right? Listen, if you're doing something illegal, child predatory stuff, fine, then you shouldn't have a platform. You're disgusting. But if it's just because I think transgenderism is a psychological issue, or I don't think you should mutilate a 12-year-old who thinks she's a boy, and you say, well, that's it. You have hate speech because you disagree with it? What's the hate part? Because I don't think. Remember the think part? So I want you to stand true to these people. Right? Listen, if you're an adult and you want to change the way you look, grow your hair out, cut your hair back, get a tattoo on your forehead, look, whatever it is you want to do, do it. It's your life. And we all thought nobody would ever have a guy dressed as a girl with a fake implants standing there reading children's books in a public library. Nobody ever thought that would take place. Never. 5 years ago, you would say that's disgusting. Even the most Democrat would have said that. Bring the left wing, who now controls the left wing of the party, who controls the entire Democrat Party, right? Now, all of a sudden, you're a bigot if you think that you shouldn't have children read to by some guy dressed like a girl. You're a racist if you think you should just hire somebody based on the content of their character. Does that mean Martin Luther King was a racist? I mean, right? They called Larry Elder the black face of white supremacy. Does that mean Martin Luther King was the black face of white supremacy? Is that what that means? Am I missing something there? Does it also mean that somebody like Dr. Ben Carson? Right. I get it. Maybe he had affirmative action get him into whatever universities he attended. I understand. But if he was incompetent as a man, as far as a surgeon goes, they wouldn't have ever let him become a surgeon the way, listen, a world-class surgeon operating on infants and babies in utero, some of them. So why not have somebody operate off of the content of their character? What don't give me something for something I can't control, but don't take something from me for something I can't control. Right? It should work both ways. Don't give me something, don't take something from me. Right? We said nothing good comes from segregation, and yet you have universities wanting to continue to keep black dorms, graduations, etc., separate. I don't know of a police officer, except for some hardcore left-wing police officers that were black police officers who supported the Black Los Angeles Police Officers Association. I don't know any. Everybody thought it was racist. Everybody was afraid to say anything. Everybody said, well, when do we have the white police officers? And it was kind of said in a joke, ha, ha, ha. But anytime you tried to say it out loud, you were racist. Racist. They said, but the other one is the White Police Officers Association, the regular Police Protective League. And you go, but that's not true. They have Hispanic and black and people, women, they have everybody there. What is it that all of a sudden, because they operate differently? Oh, they don't. So you need a secondary operation. You need a secondary group of people. It is nothing but divisive. And you have to stand up for this. Now that you've saved some of the money, you've put it aside, I want you to improve your credit. Get your debt paid off, the bad debt especially. I'm not super concerned about house mortgages or rentals where you have some equity and you have a positive cash flow. I'm not concerned about that. I'm concerned about automobiles and credit cards. Get those son of a guns paid off. Okay, let's get them paid down, paid off. Because when stuff hits the fan, I want you to have cash available. I want you to be not owned by anybody. Right? The debtor is owned by the creditor. I'm paraphrasing the Bible, but you get the point. I need you to be careful to make sure that your family is not subject to these left-wing bankers. Look, bankers, Davos, etc., those people have one job to do, and that's to imprison you, right? It's to imprison and enslave you. They did it to Europe, right? There's a reason that Spain, Greece, Portugal, Italy, they basically are owned, economically speaking, by the Germany, the France, Belgium, right? They own the labor. They own the real estate of the South. The people who live there rent from those in another nation, six nations away. And they said, oh, we're all in this together. We're all equal. Don't worry. We're equal. We're equal. You say, but are we really equal? Oh, yes. Don't worry. We're equal. And then the European Union comes along and enslaves, if you will, the Mediterranean countries. They called them the pigs, right? Portugal, Italy, Greece, and Spain. They called them the pigs. Is that disgusting? Well, if you take a look, it's the same operation. California, Illinois, New York, New Jersey, they've been trying to do that to the rest of the nation. That's how the Democrats operated when the North, after Reconstruction, Civil War, the North came along and said, okay, South, you're going to now work for me. Alabama, Mississippi, Tennessee, Georgia, you now work for me. Fortunately, some big individuals and companies came along and said, well, we're not going to make it that way. But you still see a disparity, don't you, between the North and the South? Now what's happened is the North got into debt. The North promised all these amazing pensions. The North promised all of the, now catch up 200 years from now, who knows what's going to be. But right now, just 100 years after Reconstruction, you have California literally on the verge of bankruptcy. It is basically bankrupt. It's just pretty and cute and is still getting money from others. That's it. Has nothing to do with its ability to generate revenue. Because the cities are collapsing. They have collapsed. Look at Oakland. Go to Los Angeles. Come down. Look, go downtown. Right? Everybody shakes their head and drives by. Oh, back in my day, kid. Somebody's going to do something. Who? I don't know. But you, when you can't get your message out because the media steps on everything you say, you have to figure out a plan B. And that's what today's media is all about. Get out there through these gatekeepers. So the Meta, the Facebooks of the world, the Twitters of the world, they can block and they have blocked. Mark Zuckerberg and his team don't allow somebody to come into Los Angeles politics as a mayor and say, I'm going to clean this up. You shouldn't have this as a problem. Instead, what does he do? Instead, what he does is he just puts these, quote, algorithms in place so that a conservative will never have a chance. Channel 2, Channel 4, Channel 5, 7, 9, they all collude together to have the same exact words come out of their mouth. Different hairstyles, different waistlines, right? They're all changing. They're not the pretty people anymore. Different people that are standing there and giving you the weather. I get it. They all look nice. I understand. When is a local news station going to actually highlight the problems? And ready for this? Hold on. A solution. When are they going to highlight a conservative and real conservative values to come on Channel 2 News, Channel 4 News? I don't know. What are they afraid of? Right? They all drive by. They all have been victims of crime. Listen to them on occasion. They're real cheaters, right? They'll all say, oh, well, you know, I had my car broken into. I saw this in an interview this week. I feel so bad for the guy that broke into my car. I'm like, what? What? Oh, yes. This guy that broke into my car. I'm like, what is that? How do you feel sorry for him? You feel sorry for the guy that's been in prison because he hasn't had sex for so many years? So what are you going to do for that? What are you going to do for that guy? You kidding me? Do you see where the logic has left the building? That's why you pay attention to some of these conservatives that have turned from being liberals. Some of them are intellectually honest, and they actually have hit the wall and said, you know, this is all a bunch of baloney, this stuff that we've been believing. We had an idealistic world. We thought it was going to be good, but, you know, it just isn't happening. And the world has changed, and it's changed dramatically. All right, folks, stay with me after the break. I have some emails for you, some of the best emails that we have right here in your place for news, talk, and information. 888-99-RETIRE, 888-997-3847. And I do want to tell you real quick before we end this, we have the event with Dennis Prager coming up. If it's something you'd like to do, if you'd like to be a part of it, it's in Glendale. It's coming up in a week on Sunday. give me a call at 888-99-RETIRE. You can sign up for that event. I'm Arif Halaby. Stay with me on your place for news, talk, and information. AM 870.
Now higher income strategy. Learn from Arif Halaby. Learn about financial power, the total financial hour. Now Arif has a plan for me, higher income strategy. I'll retire comfortably, thanks to Arif Halaby. Now financial security will help you live the life you dream. Learn about financial power, the total financial hour. Now higher income strategy. Learn from Arif Halaby.
Hey, welcome to the Total Financial Hour. I'm Arif Halaby. This is your place for news, talk, and information. So I'm talking about your family's finances. You've always known that. That's why our emails are about you. They're about your financial questions. They're about your family getting out of debt, managing money. And here's what matters to me, why I think it makes a big difference. Because it doesn't really matter your age. Really, you can start financial changes, decisions, modifications at any age. You know how many times I've seen people in their 60s and 70s switch careers completely, you know, from a marketing executive to a computer programmer, from a computer programmer to somebody who works at a landscaping facility. I mean, do you understand? Each of these changes are completely different. But why? Well, you mature, you change. All of us change, right? I think you're not just wrong. You're hurting yourself if you think you don't change. Modify some ideas, some decisions. Right? Make some changes where your life suddenly maybe gives you different experiences and that flips everything around, right? Okay, so if that's the case, keeping that in mind, let's hear from this week's email. Let me give you the email address again, by the way. Arif, A-R-I-F, at tfswealth.com. That's Arif at tfswealth.com. And another way to get access to us, by the way, is the phone number, 888-99-RETIRE. That's 888-997-3847. Okay, getting into this one of this week's emails. All right, dear Arif, I'm a 36-year-old woman who has decided I will most likely never have children. I may marry someday, but as far as kids go, it looks like my career is my baby. I'm concerned about my retirement, who my beneficiaries would be, and to whom I may leave all of my assets. I'm also concerned who may care for me when I get older. I know my sister and her family would be there for me if I needed them, but I want her three children to have their own life and not to have to worry about me, at least not financially. I currently have an IRA that used to be a 401k plan. It's now worth around $220,000. I have a current plan with a company that I work for now that has a significant profit-sharing plan. I'll get into that, guys, here in just a second. Continuing. The balance is about $100,000. I'm adding around $2,000 a month. I have a group life insurance plan at work, but I lost the one from my previous employer when I switched jobs. I currently earn about $190,000 a year plus bonuses. My plan was to retire at age 60. So that's 24 years, folks. My plan was to retire at 60 years old and make approximately $150,000 a year. I also have a rental property that was my first home, and I never sold it. It should be paid off in the next 10 years. As I use all of the rent I receive towards paying down the principal. Okay, this is important, guys, because let me give you this breakdown. First of all, she's 36 years old and may not ever marry. That's important because every kind of idea or income strategy that we might use has to be in line with her not having children and with her having to care for herself, right? So in each case, I have to make sure that I'm ensuring that I don't lose the idea of her, you know, assets and things that she's doing in life, kind of creating a different world when it comes to who gets her money, how, why. Follow me on that? Okay. So with that being said, how do I make sure that she is in a position to never need somebody else? Right? I mean, you understand that can be a big deal. How do I make sure that she's going to be okay? How do I make sure she's going to be caring for herself? Well, here's how we do it. First of all, her beneficiaries could be her nieces and nephews. That's always an option, right? That's probably where she will end up kind of making it work. That's the first thing. The second thing is she might be somebody who ends up needing long-term care insurance, right? With long-term care insurance, you buy insurance to protect yourself. But here's what that does. That long-term care insurance sometimes is a waste of money because most long-term care plans never really resolve the issue of what if I die and don't use it? What if I get hit by a bus or have a heart attack? So the idea is, where does that money go if you don't? So we have to have a plan for that. Next, with all that being said, how do I ensure that the dollars that she's putting in for her retirement actually have a job to do? In other words, they're ready at age 60. We're not in a 2007, 2008 depression, recession kind of thing, or 2001, 2003, when we literally had 3 years. You understand that? 3 years of a down market? That never happened before. We've had 2 years before, but in the history of the market, those black swan events, right? The times when foreign countries, foreign entities, enemies, even enemies inside of the United States, especially with this crazy illegal immigration, these open borders, the left wing has decided to thrust onto this country, onto this nation. It's important because here's why. If we have a black swan event, and black swan event is just means that it's rare. Nobody expected it. Nobody planned for it. It just kind of came out of the blue. If we have something like that, and that comes along and changes the whole system, 9/11, the mortgage crisis, the attack on Pearl Harbor. I mean, we can go back further if you'd like, right? The collapse of banking systems. So those kinds of things can make a big dent in whatever plans, COVID, right? The reaction to COVID, really, more than COVID. So here's what Denise should do. Denise has a couple of choices. Number one, make the niece, nephew, or charity as beneficiary, as I laid out. When I say long-term care is the next thing, I'd like a fixed indexed universal life insurance policy. Many of you have heard of these. They're advertised everywhere. They're on Facebook and different places. They pop up, Instagram. Different agents and advisors are bringing them up. So here's what you do and how you use it and why you use it. You use it in case you need it for long-term care. You can access the death benefit. So most likely, we use a single premium, $200,000, $100,000. That's one option. Or you put in a big chunk and then monthly payments for, let's say, 5 or 7 years. If you can do that, if you can swing either one of those or both of those, especially at the age of 36, the chance, Denise, of that growing to such an enormous amount, let's say $600,000 or $700,000 or $800,000 in death benefit and in long-term care benefit, the chance of that happening is pretty good. So now you might need it at age 70, 75. What it does is it provides a reimbursement to the young people, nieces and nephews probably, or grandnieces or grandnephews. It provides a benefit to them for caring for you. Right? So at least in the end of the story, they're going to be the beneficiaries. That's fine. But it's more than that. They also cannot not have to take from their own personal assets or their family's assets, their family's money in order to care for you. Right? I like that idea. I think that's kind of interesting. So fixed indexed universal life, I would use a lump sum, 50, 100, 200,000, whatever you can afford, plus a monthly amount. And then you only do it for about 5 years. Then it's fully funded, maybe 7 years, depending on your age and your health crisis, your health situation and what you're trying to solve for. Okay, here's the other part of it that I think is important. I don't even want you to sell the current home that you're in. Now, one day you might upgrade or change, right? People, interest rates drop. When interest rates drop, housing prices are going to go through the roof. That's what they do. Right now, there's still this absorption of all the money in the system. But Denise, if home prices drop and you want to go buy another house down the street or upgrade to a larger backyard or whatever it might be, I want you to keep this house. In fact, whether you keep this house or not, I want you to have a total of 3 rental properties when you retire. Couple reasons. One, in that rental property world, right, in that story or that strategy, you have 3 nieces and nephews. So you can give one to each kid. That's kind of nice. If one happens to like the ocean or the beach or the mountains or the east side or west side, whatever it is that you happen to be a little closer to, by doing that, they have something that they can care for and maybe even help maintain. But meanwhile, I want you to enjoy the wealth, the income, the asset part of things. Make sure that you're enjoying the wealth that comes from it. Why? Because the rental income can help offset what you need to retire. Because when you say you want $150,000 to retire, okay, let me give you some just quick math. That's around $4 to $5 million in a lump sum. Let that sink in for a minute. Right? I mean, that's a long ways from now, 24 years, but it's still a lot of money. So how do you build that kind of wealth? Well, you do so a couple of ways. I like real estate because it has a leveraging component. It has tax benefit component. You're always going to meet with your CPA, your tax advisor, your financial professional. You understand that. I also want you to consider, before I continue down that road, don't forget an estate plan through an attorney, not a guy or gal who does weekends, car accidents, you know, on the weekends. I'll do divorces on Thursday. And by the way, let me put together your estate plan. I appreciate the struggle of every profession. And when you're young and when you're trying to build a business of any sort, including an attorney, you're going to take everything under the sun. You're going to try to figure out what you want to do, what you want to specialize in and focus in. My point is, Denise, I don't want you to be that practice person. You have 2 different real estate holdings that need to be inside of a trust. And you can do that. It's probably going to be between $2,000 and $3,000 for that trust. Shouldn't be a whole lot more than that. But it should be right in that realm. Anybody who tries to charge you more than $3,000 for a single lady with no children and 2 homes, I think they're just charging too much for you. All right, so I want 3 rental properties plus the one that you own. I like the strategy of you paying down and paying off that house as you go through just the rents, right? If you don't need the rents to live on, then just keep doubling down on the house payments. Just make sure if you guys are sending in extra money to a house note or rental or whatever it might be, that you indicate, whether it's online or on the bottom of the check, that you indicate it is for principal reduction. Principal reduction. Not forwarding an interest payment, not forwarding a monthly mortgage payment. We had a young man and woman come to us and they said, oh, Eric, we've been sending in half payments every couple of months. So we figured we'd have 5 or 6 extra house payments in a year. We said, oh, okay, let's take a look. I go, well, something's wrong here, because this is back when most everything was on hand statements. And I said, something's wrong here. They said, what do you mean? I said, I'm looking at your statement. It says next payment due 4 months from now. They said, yeah, we didn't understand what that meant, so we just kept on going. Well, what they were, what the mortgage company, or really the servicing company that managed the mortgage, that bought the mortgage, the servicing company, was applying it towards an extra house payment. Meaning they weren't reducing the principal, they were just taking the money and calling it an extra payment going forward. Now, I don't know the math, but maybe in the long run, it's the same. I don't know, but I can tell you it wasn't what they wanted. So you're going to send in extra money to the house. Make sure you send it in, indicating it is for principal reduction. And in addition to all of that, here, keep this in mind. What you're going to do is follow up with a phone call or an email and say, just to make sure the last 2 payments I sent in were for principal reduction. You get a confirmation, you get a name, somebody, a date, time on the other end, and they tell you yes and or no. All right. When I'm telling you that we're going to need $4, maybe $5 million, that's if you don't have any rentals. If you do have rental property income, or really any other source of income, but if you do have rental property income, then we can probably go down to the $3 to $4 million range, which is a lot easier to achieve, isn't it? I like the fact you're putting in $2,000 a month, Denise. This is very important. As you're adding that money towards your retirement account, your dollar cost averaging, which means you're buying stock market stuff when it's up and when it's down, stock bond mutual funds when they're up, down, up, down. So in other words, when it's down, you're buying more shares. That's called dollar cost averaging. You're not going to ultimately use this money as a lump sum withdrawal. You shouldn't. It should be with what? It's going to be an income. So as you're dollar cost averaging in, you're going to also dollar cost average out. That volatility, sometimes you've heard of it as the market sequence of returns, sometimes that can hurt you if you're pulling money out in a down market. So here's what I'm going to recommend. If we want to start locking in this income strategy for you, you might take $200,000, right? The previous retirement account balance, and let's say you lock that in with the bonus. It's called a matching or prepaid interest. It's an inducement. Some companies will give you a huge amount as long as they know you're going to keep it there for 10 years. Now you can withdraw money out every month, 5 or 10% every year if you want, usually beginning in a year from now, some a little later, some a little sooner. But if you're taking out money prior to age 59 and a half, you'll pay a penalty or a fee. However, you can roll it over. So Denise, what if you took that 220, you put it into a place that gave you a bonus, let's say a matching of, 30%. Maybe there's one that's more, there's one that's less. It depends on the time you choose to do it. But that means that's over $60,000 added to your balance. Poof. Immediately, bam, right in there, 220, it's now 280, 285, 290. That balance now starts to grow based on that balance. What's the purpose of that money? Income. What portion? Well, it's going to be part of the $150,000 a year that you want later on in life, but you have 20 years to let it grow. Companies will reward you substantially. Hey, do you guys remember, think of this for a second. Do you remember the old blue chip stamps or green stamps, Alpha Beta, and some of the different stores used to have? And you'd walk in, we would have these booklets, and my mom and dad, or mostly my mom, would collect these things, and you would put these little stamps in there. So if you spent whatever the dollar figure was, $50, you would get 5 stamps, you'd put them in your booklet. When you had a particular page filled or booklet filled, you would receive something back, cookware, cup, saucer, whatever it might be, flatware. And you would receive these items because you shopped at the store. It was an inducement, but you wouldn't just go to the store and maybe overpay for sugar and vegetables or something just to try to get a free cup and saucer. But if you're there anyway, that's the whole point, right? If you're there anyway, you might as well get something free. So if you're going to be into an account that's called a retirement account, an IRA, that still isn't something you're going to touch until you're 60 years old anyway, you might as well get something free for it. It's already locked up. People say, oh, you're going to lock it up for 10 years. Lock it up for 10 years. Look, you're 36 years old. You have 20 years before you can touch it anyway, 24 years. Period. So it doesn't even matter. 10 years. Well, what if I need it for emergency? You mean like if you pass away, your family gets it? No problem. Oh, you mean like if you need it for long-term care? No problem. Oh, you mean if you want to just take out 10% a year? No problem. It isn't locked up like it's in some sort of vault and you can't touch it. It just says we're not going to charge you a monthly or a quarterly fee, unlike Merrill James Schwab guys. Right? There's a purpose for all of these accounts. They charge you a monthly fee, the vice president, by the way,
I know I told you I'm clairvoyant. I just figured you work with the vice president. In case you didn't know, everybody's a vice president. Just to be clear, everyone's a vice president. But no, I digress. Okay, so you're working with the vice president. They put your money. Do you think they work for free? Of course not.
But your money has to be at risk in order for them to charge a fee. You have to potentially lose your money for them to make a living. Now, you might make lots of money. You could hit a home run. You could make 20% in 6 months. You could do amazingly well. Where do I want you to take that risk? Stock, bond, mutual fund, up, down, up, down. Your current retirement plan. If you have a purpose for this $220,000, where the job of the money is lifetime income someday, or if not, if you, God forbid, you don't make it, then it just goes to your beneficiaries. Right? So you see the trade-off? Trade-off is, what's the purpose of this money? If you said, Arif, I have $200,000, I'm going to put it in my, it's in my savings account, I'm going to buy a house in 6 months or 2 years, then we're not going to put it into a place where the purpose is reliable retirement income. You see the difference? Purpose, place. So if the job of this money, so let's say we put it there, we let it grow. And, you know, I've done some math ahead of time because I always like to kind of lay down what I think is, you know, possible, not exact, not a, a science of any sort, but something that says, what about how much could it be? Okay, so if we went 24 years out, let me give you that math. Just this account alone would be right around $1.1 to $1.3 million. You understand that? Just with a 4, 5, 6% return. It doesn't have to be anything too dramatic. This alone would give her about half of what she wanted. Right? $50,000 to $60,000 a year could be achieved 24 years from now just from this little account. Now add into it, let's just call it $2,000 a month from each rental property. Right? 24 years from now, it's probably going to be more, but property taxes will be there and you got to pay for that and repairs. Let's just say Denise put in her pocket $2,000 a month from all three rentals. If she just followed my advice, didn't do any more, didn't do any less, that's $6,000 a month. Right? So what is that? It's another $72,000 a year. So 50 plus 72 is $122,000 a year. So what does she have to do for the next 24 years in her existing savings account? Sorry, retirement account, where there's a profit sharing plan associated with it? Just keep putting in the money. She might be in a position to where 5 or 10 years from now, she never has to save for retirement ever again. Or if she wants to do the fixed indexed universal life plan, right, where she has a long-term care, a death tax-free money, she has like another component to her diversified retirement income, that reliable source where we never have to worry about it, guess what? We could do it with a fixed indexed universal life plan. You could also do it with a whole life plan or a flexible adjustable premium. Some of those are great. I don't like the ones with the high fees. And unfortunately or fortunately, the broker or the agent controls a lot of that. On the life insurance side, which company they choose indicates a lot of the types of benefits and or fees that you might end up paying. So I'm all right if we're going to have a diversified portfolio. Just make sure we're selecting the best ones possible. So now between the rental property and this current plan and what she's putting in, I think she's going to have way more than $150,000 a year 24 years from now. But here's the other thing. Remember when I started this segment? And I said, hey, you know, life changes. We make different decisions along the way. We change our mind a little bit. Let's just say Denise gets to the place where she's 40 years old or 45, meets the man of her dreams, and decides she's going to retire early, stop working, travel with him, do whatever he and her want to do together. Her lifestyle doesn't change a bit. We've built the foundation, which is what I want all of you to do, and be cared for when you're doing this for you and your family. Don't ever forget, there's always pieces and parts to it. If we can help you, it'd be an honor, it'd be a privilege. Stay with me after the break. Arif Halaby, the Total Financial Hour. This is AM 870, The Answer, your place for news, talk, and information. We'll be right back.
Learn from Arif Halaby. Learn about financial power, the Total Financial Hour. Now Arif has a plan for me, higher income strategy. I'll retire comfortably, thanks to Arif Halaby. Now every dollar's got a job to do. Arif makes your money work for you. Learn about financial power, the Total Financial Hour. Learn about financial power, the Total Financial Hour. Financial security will help you live the life you dream. Learn about financial power, the Total Financial Hour. Now higher income strategy. Learn from Arif Halaby.
Hey, welcome back. Thanks for staying with me. Arif Halaby, 888-99-RETIRE. That's 888-997-3847. And the email address, Arif, A-R-I-F. At TFS, stands for Total Financial Solutions, TFSWealth.com. Arif at TFSWealth.com. All right. Listen, I was mentioning intuition. You guys know when something's not right. All of us do. I just think women are better at it than men. I don't know why. Probably the way we were raised, guys are, you know, again, less about their feelings, more about doing, right? Brute. Women are thinkers a little bit more when it comes to their feelings. They feel. So I just think that that's why it's not called men's intuition. For men, it's trust your gut. For women, it's women's intuition. Sounds so lovely. Ready for this, guys? They are both exactly the same thing. However you dress it up, you're going to know if something's wrong, whether it's with your friend or your sister or your brother. I'll tell you something interesting. I touched on the police thing earlier. Think about this. You see, in law enforcement, have you ever seen police officers? There's just something wrong. I remember driving. I must have been, I don't know, 2 weeks on the job. I'm 21 or 2 years old. Driving. I'm with my training officer. His name was Joe. Joe had maybe 7 or 8 years on the job. Hard charging, good training officer. Learned a lot from him. Obviously, your first couple training officers, just like if you're a brand new Army private, your corporal or sergeant, the first ones that you're around really shape your life and your career and whether or not you're going to be safe. I remember driving, we were in a real tough neighborhood, and a car goes by the other direction, maybe 30 miles an hour, we're going about the same. So the closing distance is 60 miles an hour, right? 30 plus 30. And he looks over and he goes, I think there's a gun in that car. I said, what? First of all, I said, what car? I'm like, what did you see? Second thing, he's, there's something wrong. I said, what are you talking about? I mean, I didn't say it like that. Of course, he's a training officer. I said, oh, okay. So he makes a U-turn. We come in behind the car, the license tags plates are expired. We couldn't see that when we're driving the other direction. So he turns around, comes behind the car, plates are expired. We pull the car over, conduct a field test, a field investigation, and surprise, the guy has a gun on him. We're like, what the? I saw where the gun came. It wasn't a plant. You know, it's none of that baloney. And I went, oh my gosh, what did he have? So years later, you develop that same intuition. I remember driving, and you could get a sense there's something wrong. The difference is, in law enforcement, when you get a funny feeling, you can verify it very quickly, right? So that feeling equals this. That feeling, nope, it was wrong. I think you have the same thing. Remember, your younger sister or older sister comes home with a new boyfriend, and you're like, I don't like him. There's something about him I don't like. Except 3 months go by. Then you find out the guy was a jerk. Okay, you say, you see, I knew it. Now, what happened was the initial feeling was kind of in your gut, in your heart, your intuition. And then your mind kind of took it over. And then when the confirmation came, the guy's a bad guy, surprise, there it is, and you knew it. But that feeling wasn't verified quickly enough, in my opinion, because sometimes it's months or years. And because your feeling isn't verified quickly, it's hard to reinforce that intuition as something that's credible that you can always count on. That's why law enforcement guys and military people in war zones, they're brilliant. Navy SEALs and Army Rangers, they're brilliant with what they do. They get a sense something's wrong, surprise, it is. Well, it's no surprise to them. You know it if you deal with a retired police officer, firefighter, somebody who knows, who has to live on that instinct, and they verify it quickly. Here's my point. Many of you knew something was wrong with Joe Biden. In your gut, intuition, the way he said, you knew Kamala Harris was incompetent. At least you felt so, maybe so, but because of pressure. You knew the masks were a joke, right? You knew them wearing a mask in the middle of COVID, the same mask that was in your back pocket, your briefcase that you touched with your hands, the same hands that you touched the phone with. And you say, no, I had gloves on. Yeah, but you took those same gloves that you touched your phone with. And then you put those gloves in your pocket. And then you took them out. And then you touched your mask. I mean, do you understand? Ask anybody who's a surgeon whose life and death depends on wearing a mask properly, and maybe not just theirs, but their patient, would they use the same protocols, safety protection protocols, that you use? Or is yours just any more than a pacifier, a baby blanket? You know, the baby carries his blanket around. Even the 4-year-old, 6-year-old carries a little pacifier, their little teddy bear, rabbit's foot. Some adults, they have that special coin in their pocket. Those aren't wrong. It's nice that you have something that makes you feel. But you see, we're back to the feelings, aren't we? You see, the intuition knows, well, look, this mask isn't really working. I mean, the requirements and stuff, right? When I walk by the table of the guy who's sitting down and eating at the restaurant and he doesn't have his mask on, but as soon as I go from standing to sitting, I can take my mask off. Right? You know your intuition says that's silly. You can go back to my radio shows in the middle of the lockdowns, right? 2020, 2021, when all this was exposed. Man, did I take heat for it, just so you know. We lost a lot of clients. We also gained many of you. You guys came in and said, thank you for speaking the truth. I'm not saying if you're in the middle of surgery, you have a mask on so you don't spit down into an open wound in the patient. I get it. Or if you're in the middle of the flu or you're sick, that you don't wear a mask so you don't spit germs on everybody else. I get it. And you were all told that if you got the shot, you were not going to get COVID and you were not going to be, quote, a carrier. Well, that didn't work. Right? So all of these things, trust your intuition. You know something's wrong with Joe Biden. You don't know if it's President Obama who's pulling the strings. You don't know if it's Jill Biden's pulling the strings, or we don't know exactly what's happening there, but we do know something is wrong somewhere. We do know Kamala Harris is hidden from public view because she's just not that smart. Something's wrong. I don't know what. Everybody's nervous about whatever new job. Even if you're the president, you have to pretend and fake it a little bit. I get it. But you know, at the beginning, after a minute or so, your palms sweating, after a few days, weeks in the job. Okay, 3 years? When are you going to feel like you belong there? I don't know. All of you know something is wrong with these charges with President Trump. They could have come 6 months after 2020 election, right? Middle of 2021, they could have gone after him. 2022, before he announced his presidency, or you know, the re-election, re-seeking of the presidency. They could have gone after him 3 months before he announced in 2023. Why did they wait for him to not just announce, but be the front runner? Why did the left wing use the law, the judges, the cherry picking of the courts and the judges, right? DC, Atlanta, left wing, predominantly like, what, 80% Democrat, 90% Democrat in Washington, D.C. Where's a jury of your peers there? 90% of a political party that doesn't not just not like you, they hate you. Oh, we're going to let them make a decision. We're going to let a judge who has publicly come out. We're going to let a prosecutor who has publicly come out and said, I will find the crime to fit the man. You know, that's not how it's supposed to work. Right? It's supposed to be, aha, We have a crime. Let's find the person who committed the crime. The constant in the story is the crime. The variable is the suspect. What they did with President Trump is he's the constant. Their job is to find any crime, any discrepancy that you can convince anybody who's already 80% disliking him anyway, and we're going to try to cut him down. You know that 15 minutes before he announced, they could have charged him, but they didn't. They waited. Right? So my point is, these intuition ideas that you have about something going wrong with the system, right? Gavin Newsom, something's wrong somewhere. We knew something was wrong. What does he do when President Xi comes and visits in, what was it, February of 2024? From China? Took down, stay with me. They took down the American flags and they put Chinese flags in San Francisco. Did you hear what they did? The do part. What they did is they cleaned up San Francisco and they removed homeless people, which means we now know they can do it. Whatever the situation is. Legally, sorry, we can't do anything. Our hands are tied. No, you did it. Morally, ethically, we can't do it. You know, it's just not right. No, you did it. So you found a way through your moral and ethical and righteous and self-righteous personality types of who's making the decisions. I get it. You did all those things and you came up with a solution to remove those people. Homeless people. I mean, heaven forbid, let's call them human beings for just a minute. Or maybe they just can't care for themselves, right? Their hygiene, their nutrition. What if they were in an institution or a facility where we could give them care and a team of decent, honorable psychiatrists, psychologists, social workers, occupational therapists, physical therapists, whatever the issues are? What if you had an entire rehab set up so that those human beings, yes, human beings, could get off whatever drugs they were on, could get off whatever issues they had, right? Wouldn't that be pretty wild? That you could actually create a scenario, right? So do you see what I'm saying? Is I want you to trust your intuition. You knew Gavin Newsom and the left wing in San Francisco could clean up the city, the streets, the homelessness, because they were getting a visit from the Chinese Communist Party leader. So I want you guys to take this. Election year is here, right? The ramping up, it's going to get even crazier as we get closer to the election. And because, I don't know if they did this on purpose, but really because the congressional seats are always every 2 years. It seems like we're almost always running for Congress, right? That 2 year window is almost always happening. They're always raising money. They're always moving forward. The Senate is different, right? Mitt Romney proved that. Get elected, use President Trump to get elected, and then the double barrel middle finger towards President Trump, everything he stood for, all the things he did to help. See you later. Right, that's the Mitt Romney approach. Why? Because the Senate is every 6 years. About one third of the Senate is reelected every 6 years. So if you're one of them that doesn't have anything to do as far as election goes, your true colors kind of come out, don't they? So I think what most of you end up doing is you sit there and you try to figure out, how can I create an opportunity to never, ever distrust my intuition. Your intuition, they want to remove the guns from the streets. Really? I want to make it illegal for you to carry an assault weapon. Okay, right? Assault weapon sounds bad. Whatever it is, assault is bad. So who's defining it? Oh, those people are defining it. Okay, now I have a problem with it because somebody else is defining it. But let's be clear on something. If you remove whatever guns, all of them, some of them, from the streets. Do you understand it's already illegal to murder somebody? School shootings are already illegal. So if you, quote, make it illegal to have guns, what are you going to do? Oh, I was going to go and murder 10 people today, but you know what? They passed a law that said it's illegal to have this gun, so I can't have this gun. No, no, but the good citizen down the street that said I did have this firearm, now I'm going to have to turn it in because I'm a good citizen, or I'm going to have to register it or remove it or change it, whatever the laws are going to say. Because that's what the good guy does. That's what the honest person does. That's what the citizen does. Your intuition knows that bad guys, wait for this, are bad. And that sometimes criminals act like criminals and commit crime. So follow this, right? I've told you before, you have to get involved. You need to go to city council meetings, school board meetings. You need to hold some of these school board people accountable. Some of them have got elected in areas so that they could become, right? Oh, I'm conservative. I'm about your values, family values. And if you sit in some of the city council meetings or you sit in some of these school board meetings, one specifically I can think of, she's in the northern part of LA County on the school board. So what does she do? She comes in under the guise of one, and then she changes and says it's wonderful to change and to evolve, that kids can be cats. And we have to appreciate that a boy wants to change into a girl's locker room because he now calls himself a girl. Do you not think that is insane? Does your intuition say that a 17-year-old boy who calls himself a girl, a young man, really, I mean, he's a man, right? We had men fighting in World War II at 16, right? Because they lied on their stuff, or they had their mom, dad had to sign him in so they could get into the boot camp and get into the war. Many of them, 16, 17. And at the bit of being, or at the risk of being a bit crass, some of the things that you and I might have been doing at 17, I wasn't saved at that time. Right, we're not necessarily the most godly. We were acting and playing house. We were playing adult. We were adults, 17. And you're telling me now that a 12th grader who says that he's a girl, woman, young woman, it's okay for him to go into the 15-year-old girl's changing locker room? And because you don't want to hurt someone's, ready, wait for this, starts with an F, feelings, you're not going to stand up for what's right. Your gut tells you, men, you are supposed to protect the young women. That is your job as a man. Your job as a man is to protect the people in your family. And it's to protect young women and elderly ladies and elderly couples and elderly men. Women, why is it that they have stories of you lifting cars that have fallen on your child or standing in front of a bear to protect your child? Because your instinct is to care for your family, right? They call you Mama Bear for a reason. And if everybody starts yelling, oh, you're insensitive, racial, racist, white supremacist, wait, Christian nationalists, white Christian nationalists, that's the latest one. So because you're one of those people, now we don't want you to stand up and protect your daughter. And if a boy says he's a girl and a man says he's a woman, he can go into the Target dressing room. Is that insane? Your intuition knows it. What are you going to do about it? Don't be violent, but stand up. Don't be a wimp. Protect. Right? See, here's what happens. My job is to help you provide lifetime income using the different vehicles that we choose. That's right for you. That's what my job is. That's what our firm is. 28 years we've been doing this. Why? Because then, listen, I didn't think it was going to ever be this way. But here's the result, the consequence. All these years later, surprise, where we find ourselves is what Arif can do, and our firm is very simple. We can actually create the ability for you to have guaranteed lifetime income so that you can stand up, you can fight, travel, protest, whatever it is that you do, honorably and legally, And you do it in such a way where you don't have to worry about losing your job. Being canceled. No. Yes. Nobody can take your career from you. Did you know that? Is that unbelievable? That you actually won't lose your career. Like, to me, that's a big deal. I don't think you and your family knew that. I don't think you guys were in a position to think that one day, if you were self-sustaining financially, you could actually stand up for what you believe in. I think you thought that we were, quote, a country of freedom, and you could always do that. Right? Remember, as a kid, you would say, I'm free. I don't have to do that. I don't have to do that. That's not, I'm a free person. Remember that? You would say things like that? Nope. Maybe not. Maybe you're not free. Maybe you're not somebody who can just stand up and speak out because the law firm just fired her because she stood. Look, you should be able to protest on both sides and not be worried about losing your job, your career, your position. Evergreen College, remember that? See if that, some of you are going to go, that sounds familiar. Evergreen College up in Washington State. Community college, for that matter. Left-wing professor. Left-wing, doesn't like Donald Trump, never voted for Donald Trump, wasn't left-wing enough for the socialist and the Marxists in Evergreen Community College. And they went after him because he said something. They ended up having to fire him or, quote, he separated from service, whatever their fake little story is. Instead of standing up to the bullies that are called students, some of them, instead of standing up and saying this is what's right, the left-wing Antifa and BLM, if I'm not mistaken, if they weren't actually a part of them, they were loosely affiliated with them, and they went after this poor professor because he was white. And how dare he actually comment on something? You mean have an opinion, an educated opinion? Like a doctor who might have an educated opinion about an untested Pfizer vaccine? Oh, let's remove that doctor from practice. Let's remove that doctor's license, says the state of California. Let's remove that Evergreen professor's credentials and ability to actually continue work and teaching. He was a useful tool for us when he towed the party line. When he was a left-wing activist for us, we all liked him. But when he reached into his mind and said something is wrong somewhere with whatever his disagreement was, the Americans that of black descent in that area, right, or African descent, maybe that's better, African-American women, specifically, I remember it was a lady, a young woman, I shouldn't use the word lady. And you watch this poor professor get berated for having an opinion, instead of logically saying, I believe this, and here's my reasons. And he says, I believe this, and here's my reasons. And I refute you, and you refute me, and back and forth. Instead of that, it's who can scream the loudest, who can claim victim the loudest, and who can become somebody that everybody else will be afraid of. Well, then they fired him. And you can go on and on. Professors, conservative, liberal. If you're a traditional liberal person, meaning you didn't vote for President Trump because he was of the other party, you didn't vote for a Republican anything, and maybe you were a Harvard professor by the name of Alan Dershowitz, and you try to come out and say something is wrong somewhere, the left wing is not traditional liberal values. Liberal values are different than the left wing. Did you know that? Did you know they're not the same? They're hiding underneath the Democrat Party, but they're not the same. In fact, they're night and day. The values aren't even close. Because if you're a liberal, you want free speech and discussion and debate. Well, our job is to help you provide the financial means so that nobody will take your job. Alan Dershowitz has lost a lot of friends, a lot of business. This Evergreen professor lost a lot of business, a lot of friends. Riley Gaines, athlete, standing up saying, listen, I don't think men that dress like women should be allowed in women's sports or women's locker room. Just my opinion. I think it's bad. And here's a list of reasons. Oh, now all of a sudden she's a bigot, racist, fascist. What is the next? White Christian nationalist. Woo, we got it. We tagged her. Tag, you're it. I need you to stand up. This is what it's all about, guys. TFS Financial Insurance Services, Total Financial Solutions. A little tough show today, but I want you to be a part of something big. I want you to make a difference, and that's what it's all about. Standing up, using your money, your time, your talents, your skill set to make a difference. Arif Halaby, that's who I am. Total Financial Solutions and TFS Financial Insurance Services. My name is 70 The Answer.